My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, the Force is strong with you all. And remember, Sith Wars.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We talk all things Star Wars. My name is Matt.
Hey, I'm Josh.
There he is. And I'm Colin.
There we go.
We are back with another episode. We did a 5-hour stream of,
I think it was like 5 hours and 18 minutes. Like,
yeah. Right of here. The world premiere of the final episode of Kenobi. And David was up the entire time. The rest of us were not.
During and post. He was nuts.
Yeah. Yep. So that's crazy. But the final episode was amazing. It was phenomenal. It was heartbreaking, and it opens up the future a tiny bit, which we'll talk about. But first, this is something that Josh has been hoping
look
for a very, very long time. What?
Oh, very.
He's already like perked up. He's like, let's see what we can talk about.
And that is a Jedi Fallen Order series coming to Disney Plus. This wow. is a thing that has been surfing around the web for the past couple of days, and it's been hitting those sources that have been very reliable in the past. So that's a very exciting thing. And it's very exciting. Now, we've talked about what we want out of the game to some of you in our couple past last episodes, but Josh, just to kind of refresh everyone, like, what do you think the plot of the game is going to be? And when he goes to Disney Plus, which sounds like he will, what story do you want to happen there?
Best part about him is definitely that everything is always new. Everything with on Cal Kestis's side has been so new and fresh with all the things that they've done. Another thing that people always say about Star Wars is that it was like the George Lucas quote that everything like rhymes. Like, and my opinion with that statement is everything can rhyme, but they have to be different words. They can't just be the same thing happening again and again. Whereas yeah. like, The Fallen Order had some completely new beats that I had never seen before, and that's all I want from this new stuff. I like the speculation side for me is that we're going to meet new characters. I think from the end of the last Fallen Order game would have been him going off to find other Force users. And we see in the new trailer as well is whoever's in that Bacta tank, I'm very excited to figure out who. I would love it to be like a new character or something super EU that not many people have heard of so that we can get something completely new. And I feel like whatever that's going to be is going to segue over into this alleged show. I would not doubt that.
I'm going to finish sentence four.
I would not doubt that and go.
The main thing that I want from this series.
That was cool.
Is going to be, just something new. Something new.
You almost pulled
that...
in there.
I know.
He's doing it.
My bad.
As we speak.
No, go.
Yeah, no, I mean, just in the end, I want something new. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that Fallen Order is definitely their chance to try and do something new and not have any repeats. Go new planets, new lore, introduce old things from Clone Wars side that gets all the people like us quite riled up. I mean, that's what I think would be really fun. But it's getting closer and closer to the timeline of Mandalorian as well. So,
oh yeah,
it's getting interesting. Depending on where this takes place, I think that they could throw something to do with Thrawn in, which would be fun.
I would. So something that I would love to see is like maybe we are watching Ahsoka. And then like Cal just pops up. That was so loud, bro. So that could be Ahsoka at this old temple. She like senses something. She turns around and it's Cal Kestis, and then Cal Kestis is part of that timeline now. Because something that we're kind of predicting is this giant Avengers event, right? And it will have like different force wielders who will have different characters we've seen in the past. And just seeing like Ahsoka, Luke, and Cal Kestis like all side by side with each other, I think is going to be sick. And there's so much more to explore about Cal, and yeah, I think the actor that he chose for him was such a smart move.
I think them connecting all media in one big like Avengers style event would be amazing. You get people from the games, books, series, and movies. It would be amazing.
Yeah. Parker said that the episode was great. I'm just over the Skywalker saga. I want Old Republic.
I'm kind of done with Tatooine, to be honest.
I think
read the book.
I'm done with the sand. Please, can this end? Yeah.
But yeah, so. So that is really the rumor is that he's going to have his own show and everything, but we don't know when the timeline is going to take place. I could definitely see flashbacks, you know, happening for his character because he has been through a lot. And if he ends up being in the Mando timeline, then there's going to be a lot of story to fill there. Like of why was he not there for the events of, you know, the original trilogy. Same with Ahsoka as well. They like never really explained that of why she wasn't there, like at the Battle of Endor or anything. So there's definitely a lot of explaining there. But I think the Old Republic would be a great series. I think that that if it has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga, then you can bring in more of the artistic directors. But I'm thinking that we'll probably get that in the next couple of years because they are looking for the
Old
next
Republic
big...
side. Like how far are you talking back? Like before High Republic? Cause we have,
yes. Okay. Yes. I'm not talking about High Republic. I am talking
cause
about
I would
like
feel
Darth
like they
Malik,
would, they would like, yeah, like they would probably, yeah, in my opinion, go straight to something that's in High Republic that immediately go all the way back and just start again with Old Republic stuff. Why haven't we seen anything to the future? Go way in the future. I think that would be insane.
Do you know who Cade Skywalker is?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think we've talked about that, but something on the lines of him, and like I think that would be so interesting because of this guy's like the descendant of Luke Skywalker, and
but he's just like a drunkard and a druggie, and
yeah. He like just doesn't want anything to do with the Force or anything, and then Force Ghost Luke just shows up and just makes him feel guilty about everything all the time. He's like, dude, come on, man, you're Skywalker. And he's like, I want no part of you, man. So I love that we're getting darker and grittier, and Kenobi, I mean, kind of Mando and kind of Book of Boba, but we definitely saw more of the darker and grittier side in the Kenobi series. And
I mean, you saw it from that Andor trailer, man.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah. So I'm just like, there is going to be so much happening, but let's dive in into Kenobi. This episode was amazing. It not only did it open up like a classic Star Wars adventure, but it also really made us go back in time, because there's, again, spoilers, guys, which we'll talk about in a bit. I'm just jumping into it because this was the biggest thing for me, was seeing Hayden under the mask. Like, and what was really cool about that scene was when Ahsoka fought Vader, she cut his right side of the mask. And then Obi-Wan cut the left side of the mask. And this is something that a lot of people were talking about, which is they both try to bring Anakin back, but they did not succeed, except his son. And it shows you that he needed someone of his own blood that would essentially understand him. And I think that's so powerful because Star Wars is mainly, you know, lightsabers and blasters and all that stuff. It's cool, but it's mainly about family. And Obi-Wan was like a father type brother to Anakin, and just seeing the rageful side of Anakin and not letting this go, and seeing him jump from Anakin for a small bit to Vader was uncanny. But I'll get back to that fight in a second. Matt, do you want to kind of break down the episode, and then we'll like do our thing and we talk about notes?
Okay. So you want like a basic synopsis of
episodes? Yeah.
Okay. So we open with the opening scene of an Imperial class cruiser hailing after the escaped shuttle, which has on board all of the refugees that were on the run, and then cut to inside the ship. We see the current state of everyone inside, the refugees, Obi-Wan, Leia, and all the crew. They're trying to figure out how to repair the ship so they can escape, because obviously they would have escaped into hyperdrive or hyperspace if they'd been able to. And then Obi-Wan comes to the conclusion that they're after him. They're not after the refugees at all. So if he breaks away from the group and goes his own separate way, they will follow. Cut to like 5 minutes later, he follows through with that plan for saying goodbye to Leia. Leia leaves him with a parting gift of Lola, hit her droid. The cruiser follows Kenobi, and then we cut over to Reva on Tatooine. She is in search of Luke. She wants to, I don't know what she's attempting to do at this point in time, if she's attempting to redeem herself, I guess. And then she is on the search for him, so she basically is doing that. And then we cut back to I don't even know what planet that was. It kind of reminded me of that Rogue One scene where they are on the planet with the, you know what I'm talking about, with the lab.
And they I thought they went back to Jabin. I thought that's the planet that they ended up actually going back to, because that's the planet that they were just running away from. I thought Obi-Wan just turned around and went back to that planet, and then it was just nighttime.
That makes sense. Maybe it was. Okay. Because I was like, okay, they couldn't have gotten that far. And I don't know if there are any other planets in that system, but.
Do we think it was the planet Edu? I don't think it was the planet Edu. I think it was the same planet that they ended up turning back to.
Okay. Well, he takes off in this escape ship, follows them, and then. I think that they probably go down to that same planet, but
how did we feel about the actual actual conclusion to Reva's story? How do we feel about that? Because I remember in the live party, and Josh and Mason and I were just like, we don't care about this. We like want to see Vader and Obi-Wan fighting. I just felt like it was out of place. I felt like, yeah, you know, it makes sense that she would go back and everything, but
it's funny having the biggest stakes and then like no stakes at the exact same time. We've been waiting for this Vader fight, and we know the outcome, sort of, but we know at the end what's going to happen. Same thing with Luke, but I just don't like, if I know the outcome already, I better like the characters and I better be like really into these characters, like having a fight, even though I know the outcome. So I want to see them battle.
Well, I know that you get Colin, you have your reservations about the character Reva, but like, I think that we needed to see a conclusion to her character's arc, and it wasn't going to be concluded until she came to the realization, and it would only be seen once she put herself in the same position that Anakin Skywalker did when he stormed through the temple, that she saw in that moment that she had become the very thing that she had attempted to destroy, which is plotline that we had seen before.
I would say
she was having these flashbacks, and she was in Luke's position at one point, and now she's finding herself in Anakin's position, and she has to determine whether or not she is better, the same, or worse than Darth Vader. And she ultimately decides that, spoiler, she wants to be the better person, and then she delivers Luke back to her, his family. And I would like to say that I think the character arc of Reva is a very new and very profound, like, storyline that I didn't expect to come out of this. We were all focused on Obi-Wan Kenobi because it's an Obi-Wan Kenobi show. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
That's the point, though.
Exactly. But I was uniquely surprised by this character arc of an individual who is so fueled by revenge and rage that she would infiltrate one of the supposedly one of the most like authoritative like empires to ever exist in this universe, and to do it with the sole purpose of seeking revenge on the people who destroyed her only family that she ever had.
That's a great, I love that. That exact thing that you're bringing up is amazing. I feel like they never pushed it to a point where it was like, oh, like I don't think I could rewatch it and go, wow, she really put in all these puzzle pieces to get to this plan. Besides being like, I let them go. I did this on purpose. This was
It was rushed. Like, I'm
it was rushed because they only had six episodes to make this new plot line and this pre-existing plot line make work. So I don't know if it was the right time to introduce this character of Reva, or if this felt like it was distracting us from the primary plot. There was too many protagonists in this film, and one of them that we thought was an antagonist turned out to be another protagonist of her own individual plot. So in an AB storyline such as this one, in only a six episode series, there was too much for our audience to focus on. There wasn't enough time
series with four people they have to do development on.
Yeah, right. And none of them were ever fully brought to fruition. We never completely got to see their story completely brought out and fully developed. So we never got to see Reva finally fully embellish the story that we wanted to see her. We obviously didn't get to see Luke's storyline almost at all. It focused a lot on Leia, and a lot of the audience were upset by that. That's a whole nother situation and story I don't want to get into. The antagonist protagonist like viewpoints were very scrambled. There was too much to focus on, not enough time, and just too much being introduced at the same time. And I wish that we had more episodes, not just because we want more content, which we do, but I want to see these storylines given the proper attention and time and details that they deserve. Because I feel like there was so much more that they could have done, and they chose not to for time's sake, money's sake. And when budget and time get involved inside of a plot, it always ruins it. It happens in media on a constant basis. And it's just upsetting. It's sad. Big sad face for me.
All right. So no. I like her character. Her character's interesting to me. I don't think we had enough time to really fall in love with her character or really understand it because I understand it. It's just like we just didn't get enough time with her. And I think I'm kind of predicting this, and I think Josh was maybe thinking of this too, possibly, is that in Jedi Fallen Order, it's supposed to take a couple of years after the first game, right? And the first game takes place 5 years after Order 66. So the second game probably takes place a couple of years after that. So most likely, we will see her in the game. And then that way, we could probably see more character development for her.
That was an interesting thing, because she was originally meant to die.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind seeing her in the game. I'd be like, wow, cool. They definitely need some characters in the series that can pop in to that game that I would be like, cool, that makes sense. Honestly, I think they will probably be like, hey, by the way, because we don't know the time difference between games, do we yet?
The time difference?
Between the first game and the second, this new game.
No. We just know that it takes place after most – and there was another Sith Inquisitor he was fighting. So we know it's during the time of the Empire. So most likely it will be a couple of years later, a year later. We don't know where the other characters are, like Sera or Grease. I think that I loved the game a lot. And I think if they do a show, it has so much potential because of the game did so well. And Cameron Monaghan that they chose for him was a phenomenal casting choice. And he can definitely hold his own in the game, but he can also hold his own on screen. And we've seen that in all the roles that he's done. And I'm hoping that whatever they do with him on screen is done right. I just don't want him to pop up and be like, oh, hey, look, I'm Cal Kestis. Go and play my game. Like, I want his story to make sense. I want us to feel the same way that we feel when we're playing the games.
Side note, welcome, David, for our auditory listeners. I just want you to know that David has joined us, so if you hear a fourth voice and you're like, who's that? It's David.
It's David.
It's David.
David.
It's me.
Although all of our listeners definitely know your voice by now. If they don't, I don't know what to tell you.
We got a review the other day saying like, the podcast is okay. It could do better, blah, 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 blah. But David's great. And I was like, all right, cool. I was like, all right. Yeah, cool. But yeah, so.
That was David who made that comment.
So
I was waiting for that man.
So 3 out of 4. David, who? Liam.
There we go.
No, but
Liam, you're my super fan, right?
Yeah.
You said it. I didn't say
But the 3 out of 4 of us were watching Kenobi. David, how did you feel about the way that they concluded Reva's story? And like of from that first episode that we saw to the last episode.
And it's okay if you repeat yourself from our live stream. So yeah.
I don't think I really mentioned much about Reva's complete arc that they gave us. It was adequate. It was something that worked. To me, it made sense. I liked her character from the start. I liked her aggression, and I liked the whole turn that she had, that she was really hunting Vader and not really trying to be part of the Inquisitorius. I liked that whole aspect. All the stuff surrounding her was kind of weird to me because I don't think she really deserved it. Moses Ingram. But like Josh said, they were initially going to have her killed off, and now she's alive. And the thing I don't think we mentioned before, but she was actually stabbed by Anakin in the stomach already. So she was stabbed twice, apparently.
She knew where Tatooine was because she's got the robot body as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the know.
I had a friend of mine who's not really a Star Wars advocate. I mean, she's seen Star Wars, but yeah, but she was like, so how can it be that Reva and the Grand Inquisitor and, like, for instance, Anakin can be either impaled or slashed by a lightsaber and can survive? And how can it be that Qui-Gon Jinn in The Phantom Menace could take one blast like that and be gone? And I was basically, because I actually used like a quote from episode 5 to explain the answer, that rage and fuels. Okay, there he is. Rage does wonders what did the Grand Inquisitor say exactly? He said rage does wonders to keep those from dying or something like that. When they walked away.
Yeah, the dark side users can actually keep themselves from kind of dying with the rage they have. I think I first learned that with the second Old Republic video game. There was this Sith character who looked like he was like a zombie, and he stayed alive because of his rage and his anger.
But would we really want to classify Reva as, I mean, she's using rage and she's out for revenge, which are very Sith traits, but she came from an original Jedi background, and the reason that she was doing this was as heinous as it was, she was doing it for like kind of a good cause, like our good reason. So like she was evil. She was doing these for very like selfish and like revenge type reasons, but like there's also like the balance of morals inside of her was kind of it was off because originally, and the same thing with Grand Inquisitor and Darth, of course, because they all originated from the same light side that turned dark. But is it the same for her? Because her ambition and her reason for carrying on is, I don't know, morally sound, is it? I don't know.
I kind of feel like we're reading a little bit too much into it. I think she just basically got stabbed in the right spot not to die.
He's because like anatomy.
You're right. And
she has three stomachs.
So yeah, I mean, when you get stabbed or cut by the lightsaber, it's automatically cauterized. It cauterizes your wound, so you're not going to bleed out like a traditional like edge weapon or anything.
I also we've had this discussion, or I don't know if we have, but I've had this discussion of like the reality of being hit by a lightsaber and it being like with the temperature and heat that it has, that if someone were to actually be impaled by a lightsaber, it would cause their entire body to implode because of the boiling temperature of blood, depending on the different species. And like, you know, so it's weird. It's like making direct contact with organic material at a temperature of that rate would cause instantaneous implosion. So I'm like, that's an interesting view. Imagine what would happen if you just stab Qui-Gon Jinn and then popcorn kernel or something. I don't know. We're talking about anatomy. I thought I'd
science
add that in
with
right
Matt.
Yeah. Science rules.
Yeah.
Side note: you guys see that Bill Nye got married? That's cool.
Okay. All right. Well. But yeah. No. I thought it was interesting that so it sounded like Aunt Beru was more on the fence of she was on more of the fence of having Obi-Wan around more than Owen wanted Obi-Wan around. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take because of for years we've known exactly how Owen has felt about Ben, which was he wants nothing to do with him because he blames Obi-Wan for the fall of Anakin. But we never really heard Aunt Beru like say anything until this episode of where, you know, she's like, where's Obi-Wan? And then Obi-Wan's like, Owen's like, I have no idea. And she's like, I wonder why that is. And it's like, oh, okay, interesting. So you have this different point of view than Owen. And for years, I always thought that the Beru was on the side of, you know, him, but now it sounds like she was maybe in the fence and always like, you know, I'm okay with having Obi-Wan around.
Well, I remember the conversation they had in A New Hope, like right after like Luke stormed away from dinner and she was like, he's got too much of his father in him. So like, it seemed like they had like had this conversation many times before. And it seemed like she was like, I've definitely staked my claim in this argument, but you are persistent, you know, in keeping him at bay. Where I was kind of sense this in Aunt Beru that like she kind of disagreed with her husband's beliefs that he shouldn't be anywhere near that lifestyle or anything like that. But she's like, you can't fight this forever. I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but you know how I feel about this. That's kind of what the feeling that I got when they had that conversation. And then in this final episode, when she like voiced her opinions again, I was like, this is a conversation they've had many times. And I don't think they have the same exact viewpoint or like point of view, how they should go about raising this child. Because obviously, Obi-Wan Kenobi is there for the protection of Luke, regardless as if he wants to be there. And like, I think Aunt Beru like sees that and she's like, he doesn't have to be here, but he stays. And he doesn't do that because he wants to take him on as his Padawan. He is doing that because it was his mission. He has an obligation to protect this child. And he also has this moral obligation to protect the child of the Padawan that he couldn't protect. The person that he failed to guide towards the light, he was going to try and morally make up for that by taking care of Luke.
Saying that like she sees him for like the person who's the protector, but like on the other side you have him just viewing Obi-Wan like he's only just trying to get him to be a part of the Jedi, like train him as a Jedi. Like, no.
But also Obi-Wan's like, the Jedi is done. They're finished. So why would he have that moral compass to try? I mean, he did say he wanted to train him, but like only to protect himself, to know his past, to know that he can do these things, but not to, I don't know, rekindle the Jedi Order like Luke eventually does decades later. I don't know. Is Colin just really mad at us, or is he frozen?
No, I am. Oh, he's focused. Frozen.
Minecraft.
No, I'm not.
You were frozen for a second, so we were like, what's going on here? What's up, 18-bit?
Yeah, okay, all right. No, but I would like to talk about the lightsaber, about the duel. Because that lightsaber fight was hands down amazing. It was first advertised that maybe they were going back to Tatooine. Not to Tatooine, to Mustafar, when that concept art came out. This right here, boom.
Yay!
Yeah. and just seeing Obi-Wan in that in his Clone Wars pose.
His form's so weak right there.
Like, so cool to me, man. Like, to me, I think that of the opening, I mean, of the line where they're about to fight again is really rhyming with what they said on Mustafar, where Obi-Wan says, "I will do what I must." And then Anakin, you know, Mustafar, you know, said, "You will try." But here he was like, "You will die." And then he just goes full out. He goes full out Vader, attacks him. They have this wonderful fight that was choreographed so well. And these lightsaber fights are like dances. If the actors mess up when they're fighting and they end up like, you know, yeah, like their hand, boom, smacked like a giant bruise. Josh just left. That's fine.
Yeah, I remember like back in like during Revenge of the Sith, they would like talk about how they look like they've been abused, like they covered in bruises in their arms and their shins and their knees from like, you know, fight scenes going wrong or the coordination not being synced up properly. And it was just funny to see that. And I was like, okay, well, I always thought about it from that point of view, but like, I've never like seen it. And they're like, yeah, if you screw up, you get smacked by this stick. Like, you're not getting your arm cut off, but you'll get a whip hit. So
yeah,
I love the coordination and I always like to look at the footwork of people in fight scenes such as this, because it's obvious that every step they take is coordinated, that it is anticipated. It's gone over hundreds of times. So, yeah. And then when they put the fight sequence together like this, it's just flawless.
It is
flawless. I love it. But then you see someone like, I don't know, like a Star Wars Celebration, and they're like playing with lightsabers and dueling. You're like, that's not.
No.
It's fun. Yeah. But like, it's not.
I loved that. Both actors practice, like they practice like so much. I don't think it was Hayden in the suit fighting, right, David?
No, there was actually like stunt doubles.
Yeah, yeah. But when they had the lightsaber
got it
fight,
easy.
Yeah. When they had the lightsaber fight as Anakin and Obi-Wan back in Coruscant during that flashback, that was Hayden and that was Ewan. So
it really does need his face for that last coordination. They're like, we just need your face. Like, we need this much of your face.
How do we feel about Obi-Wan lifting all those rocks and being like, and just
he puts Rey to shame.
Yeah. Well, I liked how at first he lost sight of what he was fighting for. And I think that's why Qui-Gon comes at the end, because he's like, you know, I was waiting for you to come back to the light. You've been lost for such a long time. And see him come back at the end was incredible. But here is a picture of the crew. It was done so well. It was great.
I didn't realize Jeb was wearing a mask. And I was like, why does she look like a duck?
It's like, but
the skin tone is weird.
But the lightsaber was incredible. I saw Obi-Wan using a lot of Anakin's move. There is a move where he does the behind his back thing. And I'm like, that's Anakin's move. He totally stole that from Anakin.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Nice.
Behind the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that during the live stream, I think.
Yep.
He said, hey, that's not yours.
But Obi-Wan comes back from being under the rocks and just like, you know, I'm fighting for the future of Leia and for Luke. Anakin hates sand. Vader hates rocks. Yeah, there you go. But no, I love the fight. It was haunting. It reminded me so much of Mustafar. But I think the most chilling thing, and I remember watching it again, and I paused and I was just like, this is terrifying. Because which I never thought that we would ever see something like this, but battle damaged Vader. That was crazy to me. And we were talking about this earlier, where when Ahsoka and Vader fought, she cut the left side of his face. I mean, yeah, it was the right side, and then Obi-Wan cut the other side. And they both see right here, you can tell that his eyes aren't red and like orange, like in that, like how he was in Mustafar. So Anakin came back for a second there, but then he gets rageful, and then you see him go back to like, I'm Vader. I'm a dark lord of the Sith. And that lighting was done so well. I said that on the live stream. I was like, oh, like he's back to Anakin right now. But then you see his evil smile like come in, and then you see that. Oh, it was done so. I was blown away. Just seeing this just takes me back to being a kid and just imagining what a rematch would be like if Vader and Obi-Wan fought. And the whole thing was just done in a remarkable way.
Hayden looked really good in the mask. I was so pleasantly phenomenal. Surprised with that.
And this is something that Hayden wanted to get to from the very beginning, because of when they were filming Attack of the Clones, he's like, all right, I'm going to be Darth Vader. And George was like, no, you're on the verge of being there, but you got to be patient. And then he, you know, was this kind of whiny kid, kind of like Luke. And then he worked his way up to Revenge of the Sith. And yes, he was Vader, but he wasn't the Vader that we knew from the original trilogy, and this definitely is not the Vader that we know from the original trilogy. This is Vader in his prime. He is rageful. He's blaming everything on Obi-Wan, and the fact that we got to have these actors come back and play these phenomenal characters was a dream come true for the Star Wars fans. And to me, I feel like we definitely got spoiled, because this is like the main thing that fans have been wanting since Disney got the rights to Star Wars. And I say that like since this show was going to come out, but it's true. And to me, the fight was done well. I really wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, it makes sense why Vader lost. And it's something I was actually talking about early today, because they were like, hey, how did you feel about Vader losing? And I was like, all right, villains in this show lose sight of their surroundings when they celebrate early. And the Emperor, Snoke, Maul, and Vader are fine examples of that, because of Maul was trying to kill Obi-Wan. He was cutting up the thing, and then Obi-Wan jumped up, caught him off guard, cut him in half. The Emperor got killed by Vader at first because he was so caught up in beating Luke. And then Vader came in, threw the Emperor off the ledge. And Snoke was so blinded by thinking he was going to kill Rey. And Kylo came in and turned the lightsaber on him and killed him. So it's, and this situation, it's not that, oh, like, how did he not hear Obi-Wan sneaking up on him? It was Vader was so caught up in his pride of beating Obi-Wan, he lost sight of, you know, of what was going on. And Obi-Wan came up, snuck up behind him, threw a bunch of rocks at him, and then Obi-Wan used the which I think this is really cool, but Obi-Wan used his hilt to like hit his voice changer, and it just completely like destroyed it. And then the final blow hitting him in the face, I was just Anakin. I could just see that he was so mad because he's like, I can't believe I had the moment, and it slipped away. And I think he knew he made that mistake, and it was definitely shown. And hearing him scream, Obi-Wan, just like Maul was screaming on Tatooine when he was trying to look for Obi-Wan, was like rhyming, and it made me so happy. So I was very satisfied with the fight. How did you guys feel like just about the lightsaber fight and the growth of the characters throughout the series?
I loved it. It was great. It's grown on me even more and more. I think I've seen it like 5 times now. I watched it on the live stream on my MacBook Pro. It looked really good there, but I saw it on a big screen downstairs a couple times now, and it's great. The wide shots panning down to the action, seeing the red and the blue sabers go at each other. I mean, that was kind of the cinematic scope that I've been wanting for the show for a while, and they kind of brought in the last episode. Even at the beginning, we hear John Williams' score at the beginning, like in Empire Strikes Back, when they're chasing after the shuttle. And just to see Vader's Devastator Star Destroyer with the proper lighting chasing a ship once again, just like the original trilogy. So good. It's quintessential Star Wars.
Pew, pew, pew.
And to finally get this duel, the one kind of complaint, well, not really complaint, but it was kind of weird to always have that Revenge of the Sith moment where Anakin and Obi-Wan were fighting with two blue lightsabers. We always wanted the red versus the blue, and now we got it. And to see Obi-Wan go up against Darth Vader in an action-packed, athletic Jedi lightsaber duel, it was awesome. And I didn't anticipate him like crushing his voice changer as much as he did, and then hitting him in the face and slashing him in the back, and then finally going for that blow to the face.
Yeah, that blow to his back. And I was like, he's going to get up from that? Because like Kylo didn't.
Speaking of that, and I think this is really interesting, is like, to me anyway, the lightsaber fight that we got in this was better than any lightsaber fight that we got in the sequel trilogy. And I remember during Rise of Skywalker,
Force Dash.
Yeah. I remember when Daisy Ridley was talking about episode 9, she was everything, that the fight between her and Kylo was the best lightsaber fight out of the entire Skywalker saga. And I was like, oh, wow, and no joke, that hyped me up. And I was like, okay, all right, I believe you, I believe. And I watched it. You were jumping waves, like most of it.
Flips, tricks.
There were some cool elements in it, but honestly, this is what, to me, where the stakes were, you know, high, just like in Duel of Fates, of that fight between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Maul. And then you get that same feeling in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. When you're watching the sequels, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like the stakes were super high. And in this one, it was... What made me love this fight was Obi-Wan was mainly doing this just so he could talk to his friend again and try and bring him back. That was Obi-Wan's goal out of this, in my opinion, because when he went to Mustafar, at first he went there to kill him because Yoda told him to, And then in this fight, you see that Obi-Wan had the chance, but he didn't, because in his mind, his main goal was, I'm going to do what I should have done 10 years ago, which was talk to you and then figure this out.
Oh.
And he had the chance to kill him, but he didn't. Which,
well, also, you know, like, I remember in episode one, he thought that Anakin was dead. He was like, I killed him. I thought I killed him. He survived that? That was crazy. How did you do that?
Well, I am talking about in the sense of he could have stabbed, you know, Anakin and then walked away, but he didn't because he couldn't bear it.
He's like, let the lava do it.
Right. And seeing him alive, Obi-Wan saw a second chance, because he was like, I didn't want to do that in the first place. I have the second chance. I can do my best to make things right. But I think seeing his face and the way that he was talking, and it was like, all right, you know what? He's truly gone. My friend is truly gone. I can move on. And then because Obi-Wan lets that go, he lets that attachment go, then we see Qui-Gon come back. And Qui-Gon was like, I was here the whole time.
It's weird.
But yeah.
His Force ghost is weird. I was like, I didn't know that ghosts aged.
Well, I mean,
I think like, didn't even want to deep fake that a little bit. I don't know.
He looked, I didn't think it was bad. I saw the beard at first and that threw me off, because I could tell that's not his real beard.
It looks like an Amish like man.
Yeah.
Like the way it's shaped, and you can see his gray strand. And I was like, last time we saw Qui-Gon Jinn, he had not that, definitely not that. And he just sounded older, and you could see that. I mean, it was the same situation and same reasoning that I had behind when we saw Anakin and Coruscant. I was like, dude, he's got like these massive age lines on his face. And like, that's okay for the actor, but like, touch it up. Touch it up.
How do we feel about Qui-Gon coming back as a Force ghost?
It's perfect. It's what I predicted. It's what I wanted. You want Liam Neeson back in there. And of course, we talked about this several times, that he didn't get his training while he was alive. He could have got his training when he was dead. I mean,
right. But the whole point of that was, like, of that whole episode with Yoda was, he didn't become a Force ghost because the only way that you could complete the training is when you're alive. So how did Qui-Gon achieved that?
And he found a workaround. Another way to do it.
Right. That's another story that they're going to have to talk about. Because
then they'll have to get into afterlife and what happens right after death. And that's a touchy, touchy subject.
Honestly, they're the ones that dug themselves in this hole. Because it's like, yes, it's great. It's, yeah, right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
That's a great point that he made.
No, didn't we tell this guy to get a new name like a month ago? I remember this guy.
No, it's cool. Stick with it. It's unique. It's different.
I'm going to call you.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, actually, because, yeah, Matt brought up the fact that they should have maybe de-aged him. But, I mean, the Force ghost appears the way they want to appear. And to me, it would feel kind of odd if Qui-Gon Jinn appeared younger than what Obi-Wan was. So Obi-Wan has a better kind of like mentor-mentee relationship when he sees Qui-Gon, that he aged right along with Obi-Wan. So to me, that kind of makes sense.
These comments we're seeing here, they're talking about rather seeing this Obi-Wan series as a film. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast. I don't, David, you might have like just popped in right at the end of this conversation, but I said that they didn't have enough time to fully develop a lot of storylines and complete a lot of the character arcs that were happening.
Well, they had a lot of time, I think. It's just the project got derailed a few times because it all kind of goes back to Solo. Once Solo didn't make a huge like impact money-wise, they kind of rethought their strategy at Lucasfilm and said, well, maybe we shouldn't do Star Wars stories. And then the original Obi-Wan Kenobi project was a film, and they pivoted away from that, and then they talked about doing a series with the streaming, and then the writer who made that show and had the script ready, Favreau got a hold of it. And Favreau was like, you can't do this. This is basically The Mandalorian. We just did this. You got to stray away from a lot of this lone wolf and cub stuff. So that's why they got a different writer in Joby Harold. And I believe someone else helped substantially. And they gave us a story that we ended up getting. So
yeah.
A lot of twists and turns there with Obi-Wan. The story finally getting completed and executed. Just kind of the way things go sometimes. It's.
I didn't get a chance to hear Carl's final thoughts on the podcast or on the final episode, because I know he was kind of an advocate for not liking the series for a lot of reasons.
So I'm
anxious to hear what he has to say.
He
for once. Okay.
He was so funny because I remember us leaving the Obi-Wan Kenobi premiere, and Carl was just like, can't believe
he was just so
there
like,
are two of the same species that end up being the Grand Inquisitor. And I'm like, what? And then and he was like, yeah, because of this guy died. I'm like, no, dude, he's not dead. And he's like, yeah, he is. There's no way you can survive a stab like that. And then no joke. We get Reva that survived getting stabbed as a kid. And she also gets stabbed as an adult and she survives. And it was both from the darkest character in all of Star Wars, pretty much, man. Like, it's like, I mean, well, not the Emperor, but I mean, but it was just very interesting to me that she could survive. But I thought it was funny from Carl, because Carl was so set on he's dead, he's not coming back. I'm like, dude, he's in Rebels. He's like, nope, it's done. And he wasn't kidding. He was like dead serious. And I wish I would have saw his reaction to episode 5 when the Grand Inquisitor walks out, because that
were like, yeah. Son of a
his species has two stomachs. And I was like, there's no way they will cut
wish
out.
I had two stomachs.
They will not cut out the Grand Inquisitor from the timeline. Like,
they won't cut out of him, but they'll cut into him.
That would be one of the dumbest things that they could have done, was to be like, all right, we'll just kill off the Grand Inquisitor. That would have made no sense to me. And it would have been worse if it was, okay, here's the Grand Inquisitor, he dies, and then we will replace him with the same species, and now he's the new Inquisitor. That is what Carl's logic was, and I was like, dude, no, that's not gonna happen, bro. But yeah,
vengeance does wonders for the body.
Yeah. So I am excited for the future, for these characters.
Future.
I think it would be great if we got a. If we end up getting a Vader series, and then that maybe led into season 2 of Kenobi, I think that could definitely happen. I think seeing more of the side of Vader and him dealing with everything, and then that would be a great way to mainly focus on him, because Hayden and Ewan both said we want to keep playing these characters, and when actors say that, they mean it, and this is a good time to do it. I say, Disney, listen to them, because we kind of had to establish of where these characters were in the timeline. Now that we have, now we can, you know, keep going.
There you go, Matt. He changed his name.
Yeah.
Holy crap, he did.
So, yeah, he is actually one of our patrons.
Yeah. All right.
That's cool.
Ready for Andor.
Now I kind of still want to call you Haha.
the Andor series. I'm very, very
it's like, what the heck? Scroll down. Poster. You did what Diego told you to do.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know. Yeah. He told us to all hang those posters in our living room. Although that's your office, so I'm sorry.
And we are getting Andor on August 31st. And then we're getting Bad Batch on the 10th. And then that's really it. Star Wars this year.
Tales of the Jedi.
Oh.
That's also this fall.
Yeah.
And Vision season two, right?
I think Vision season two comes out November, doesn't it?
No. Coming out early next.
I think I'm thinking of a date that wasn't announced, but it was like they were like assuming it would come out around that time.
But something that popped up on the other day,
2023 for Vision season two.
Yeah. Right. Something that popped up the other day made me very, very, which was the summer vacation special that, like,
oh God, okay.
And Weird Al, no joke, is appearing there, and we don't know if he's like just Weird Al or he's gonna be something else, but he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, he's got his hair, Lego specifically, like made him.
He's even got like the stubble on his face.
Yeah. So and there's even a part of the trailer of where we see the Max Rebo band, and I posted in the group chat right away. I was like, if Max Rebo and Weird Al end up doing a like collabing and doing a duet, I'm gonna lose it. I will lose it, guys, because that would make so much sense. Because I feel like. Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's Snai Noodles, Droopy McCool. They even gave him his organ back too. Oh, it's so great.
they gave him his organ back.
Yeah. And it looks like Obi-Wan has his mullet, so maybe this is happening during that 10-year period.
That's supposed to be Obi-Wan. Okay. I was like, who is this guy?
Could you imagine of, like, Obi, like, this ends up being like the first that we see of where Obi-Wan is in his hut on Tatooine talking to Qui-Gon. He's like, you know what? I need to go on vacation. And then he ends up going there. I think that would be hilarious because of these Lego shorts are so great. But something else as well in the trailer of that, we saw Finn talk to Obi-Wan, which they are kind of continuing the story of what the sequels would be like, I guess, if Finn, you know, actually got his training and everything from Rey, because we know he's force sensitive, and that was hinted at a lot in the finale of The Rise of Skywalker. But him talking to Obi-Wan is going to be interesting to me. Now, it's not canon. Not really. Not all these stories are canon. I think in a way, some of these stories are because there's the story of Star Wars, a certain point of view. And not all those stories are canon, but some of them are because they are being told from the perspective of these characters. And I could see, you know, these Lego stories being something on the lines of that. I really just hope that's true because I would love to see Max Rebo. Okay. No joke. Moby rules. We're no longer allowed.
That's mob rules, Moby.
Yeah, Moby rules not allowed. Mob rules totally allowed.
You're welcome.
Dude, come on, man. But, there's a lot more.
I mean, we've seen Star people get cut in half and still become a major villain later in the series. So, Speaking of that, what happens if we see like a spider version of Snoke running around and like,
his hand was chopped off too. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Spider Snoke.
I'm good. Something that I wanted to bring up that we are soon doing for Patreon is we are going to be doing more commentaries, but not of just the movies, but of the classics. We are gonna be doing some commentary.
I needed a warning. I need like a
because some of the elements of the Ewok movies are technically canon, which I think is really interesting. And not everyone's watched them. Yeah. And then something that a couple of us have been doing, and we are gonna get a big group and play this weekend on Twitch, is gonna be Ewok Hunt from Star Wars Battlefront 2. And we are just going to have a great time, play some Star Wars, catch up with old friends and talk about the future of Star Wars by trying not to die from Ewoks, or maybe we are Ewoks and we're, you know, hunting the stormtroopers down that invaded the planet. But yeah.
Yeah, it's kid friendly.
Sure.
We're gonna have like one of those Patreon tiers. We'll have like an adult only section, I guess. That's like, you know, we're gonna just like couple blue milks back, spit the
what? I don't know. See, no. It's you are going down a path I can't follow.
It's a real thing. A lot of podcasters do it. Like they'll have like a version of the thing where like only certain viewers are allowed to do it. And it's like where they'll like, it's like, and I've seen it like I can't think of a specific podcast right now. I mean, it's not Star Wars related, but like if we like just like, I don't know, had a couple drinks and started talking about our Star Wars experiences and without having to worry about the confines of society and rules. I think that's a cool looking cool cup you got there. You gotta hold it by the tusks though. We definitely haven't gotten back into it yet, but we're gonna be talking like Sabacc talk. I wanna get that up and running again.
I agree.
Because they just opened up the poker room that I was telling you guys about. They just reopened it. So I wanna take advantage of that soon. It's still in the works. We still got stuff to do. Equipment to get before we can make that happen, but it is going to happen soon, and I have to do it, you know, soon because like while Colin's still here and I'm still here at the same time, so yeah, you might have to
there's a lot of great stuff coming to our Patreon. Speaking of which, check this
We're supposed to show that. That's for people that pay for it. What the heck?
Advertising. No, but
thanks, Ray, for that. Super awesome logo.
Yeah, we are very excited for all of the new stuff that we're doing, and it's going to be a great time. It's definitely going to be a great time. All of our tiers have changed, and well. Have they changed or are they changing, David?
They're changing. We just haven't gone live with them. We're going to make sure we have adequate content. I have a few unboxing videos that I want to release. One we talked about already on Patreon. It's a one of the Hyperreal Vaders that I have. I haven't unboxed them since, I guess, 2019, since I bought them. Oh. But, I believe I got it on Force Friday, actually. And I also have a Black Series Vader helmet, and I did an unboxing of my Razor Crest that I haven't loaded up yet. So there's three unboxing videos ready to go.
The Razor Crest that's right behind you over there?
Yeah.
Cool. Look at that beautiful thing.
It looks super small.
But... I want to open that beautiful thing up and look inside of it.
So I got the Lego Mando Naboo Starfighter set, and I'm going to be filming that unboxing tomorrow because that has a mini version of a BD unit. And I've been wanting one for such a long time. So I am very, very
excited. BD-71, right?
Is that 72?
70. I thought it was 71. Either one. It's not BD-1. That's all that matters.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, there's a lot more content coming your way, and we can't wait to share with you. There's a lot more Star Wars stuff on the way.
Yeah, there's also one more thing here. So our very first book review actually might come via the Obi-Wan Kenobi graphic novel.
Yeah.
Our buddy Josh, we're going to jump on his podcast and do a little review here. And here's the cover of the novel. And my copy is going to arrive, I believe, on Friday, tomorrow.
You actually just reminded me. That's so funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to cover that. We're going to read that, I think, in 2 days, Colin and I. And Should be a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. There's, wait, so I can't do it.
There is no limit on what we get to talk about because there's so much Star Wars content. So we are very excited about the future.
And of course, like you see on the ticker below, scrolling by, we upload pretty much daily, unless we're sick. James and I got sick, and we planned on doing some stuff, and took a couple days off. And James is still going through COVID right now, so he's been incredible.
You said the word.
Oh.
You said the word.
For the listeners that don't know, if you say the C word, the C word I just said, you get like a little notice on your podcast, but it's not a big deal.
Can we just cut that out?
Like, he said the word. Bird is the word. You're saying the wrong one.
It's not that big a deal, but
wrong word. It's okay.
It is the biggest. Yeah, I'm just kidding. No, it's not. But yeah. But yeah, guys.
Anything else?
No. No.
I'm good.
Nothing.
No.
Do it.
All right. Well, I have to go like wash my carpet or something. I'm kidding. I don't have to do that.
That's a weird excuse. Okay.
I have to get the blood out of it. Ah.
Moff Gideon approves.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. My hands. There we go. Star Wars Stuff Podcast at gmail.com. That's where
we are.
So
this Sunday, actually, hold on, Kyle. So this Sunday,
it's only Sunday.
I'm thinking that we're probably going to do a bunch of listener emails and voicemails that they've left us. So
that's a great idea. Yep. And we're also on Audible again. You know, there's so much.
This is for you, Liam. We did it for you.
Star Wars content that are novels, that are comics and books. Highly, highly recommend going on Audible because there's so much content on there that is beyond all the shows on Disney Plus and the movies. So highly recommend doing that. Please go give us a review. We love hearing from you. We love, you know, your honesty, even when it's bashing us and saying that the only great thing about the podcast is David. And we have our own website, stuffpodcastnetwork.com. We're on Twitch. We play Heroes versus Villains. We play Ewok Hunt. There's a lot happening this weekend on that. So let's have some fun with that. And
as long as there's no sweaty players, you know, because like,
well, it's the weekend.
I don't like
so.
That.
Yeah.
Is it still like triple XP? I don't know.
It might be. But with that being said, guys, from David, myself and Matt and Josh, who was here earlier. We love you all, and may the force be with you always.